San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, October 27, 2019. Today's lesson is Cross My Heart with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so wonderful to see you here this morning. So I'm going to come out and begin with a statement of absolute truth, okay? There's one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this one power God, the living spirit almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. Cross my heart. And hope to die. This is the truth. So today's lesson obviously is called Cross My Heart. And the little poem that goes with Cross My Heart is so bizarre that, and I tried to look it up. Okay, so Cross My Heart, Hope to Die, Stick a Needle in My Eye. And it's like you go, what? Why would I be so self-damaging? Why would I do something like that? Well, it turns out that Cross My Heart is not that old of a saying. It came about in the 19th century, toward the end of the 19th and going into the 20th century. There was a very long poem that was Cross My Heart and Hope to Die. I will love you forever, and you know, this person saying how truthful they are, how serious they are, and there's three stanzas to it. Then the second one is Cross My Heart and Hope to Die, Stick a Needle in My Eye, and you know, how much more this person is saying, well, the truth is really important and you're a liar. And then the third one is Cross My Heart and Hope to Die, Stick a Needle in My Eye, and how important the truth is, and how she can't live with a liar, or he can't live with a liar, doesn't say who wrote it, but this person can't live with a liar, so they're out of there and you're gone. And so that, from that poem, must have come the Hope to Die and Stick a Needle in My Eye. And that poem was around, I believe it was around the 1870s. Also in 1891, there was an article in the Record Union, which I believe was up in the Bay Area. There was a big 4th of July picnic, and this artist goes and he writes an article that says, "A day in June picnicking as it is done in the redwood groves." That's the title of his article. You know, they used words differently in the 1800s. Now we do the, you know, shock jock, little memes. We want power in minimum words. But back then, a day in June picnicking as it is done in the redwood groves. And this artist goes and he's taken a painting that he's made. And it has many different things in it, including a hayfield. And so his friends are looking at it, and they're not giving him all this, oh, wow, it's wonderful, it's a hayfield. They're just kind of looking at it, well, you know, I kind of like that part with the bale of hay, with the haystack. I kind of like that part with the little barn. I kind of like that part with the sun and the tree, and wanting him to cut this painting up in all these different pieces and give it away to them in pieces rather than the whole. And so at the very end of his article, he says, so this is how my day went, and I will never paint a hayfield again, cross my heart, and hope to die. So there's that other way of using this, like, this was so unnerving, so disturbing, that I'm never going to do it again. And I hope that I die before I ever have to go through something like that again. So these are the earthly ways of looking at that phrase, cross my heart. There is a deeper, more spiritual way of looking at it. And we can look at it remembering the cross that Jesus was crucified on, and that Jesus was considered the Savior to save the world from all of what had gone previously and bring the new word, bring the forgiveness. And so Jesus died on the cross. So when people use cross my heart, back in the day, back thousands of years ago, it was akin to a religious oath. It was, this is so important, this is so deep, that I make the sign of the cross over my chest to show how important this is, how powerful this is. And these making the sign of the cross over your heart truly were related to spiritual oaths. When people were questioned, they would say, is this your answer? You know, is this your final answer? Sure, it's my final answer. Okay, swear an oath. On the cross, I swear, this is my oath. So they are crossing their heart. The hope to die part also indicates the seriousness of the oath and the pledge of honesty. Basically, the people, when they said hope to die, they were saying, if I'm not truthful, I give God my permission to smite me. This is when the teachings were still on the order of Saint Michael the Archangel coming and with his sword smiting the enemy. And so if I make a swear, I swear this oath, and I'm lying, I fully expect God to send lightning bolts or Saint Michael the Archangel to behead me. These were the ways of the time. Over time, religious fervor changed. It wasn't as popular. It wasn't as regimented. It wasn't as required. So you'll find we don't have the Inquisition coming by and, you know, stopping out in front of your house and saying, Inquisition here, time for your test. We're going to ask you these questions, and if you don't give us the answers we like, we're going to go put you on a rack and stretch you out and make you very uncomfortable. That doesn't happen anymore. No, we live in a free nation, and people are much more forward-thinking. We also have more variants of Christianity in which cross my heart played a huge role. Wouldn't make any sense for a person who was Jewish or Hindu or Buddhist to say cross my heart, because the cross was not a sacred relic for them. So this is primarily a Christian thing. So in this cross my heart, which is used by all faiths these days because it is now a catchphrase. Kids use it in school and they don't even know that it has anything to do with faith. It's just, okay, I'm telling the truth, cross my heart. You know, that's it. They think that making this symbol has to do with honesty rather than some kind of a sacred vow. But I want to tell you something. When we speak our word, we are always and forever making a sacred vow. We remember Noble Benning, our lead practitioner, was teaching the Four Agreements class. And the first of the agreements is be impeccable with your word. So that means always be honest with others and honest with yourself. Our self-talk, we also need to be very honest with. There's a reason we want to be impeccable with our word. And that is because the word has power. Your word, the word that you speak, is backed by the integrity of the universe. So I have a question for you. Are you giving your word the respect it deserves as the word of God? Every time you speak, you are speaking the word of God. Are you treating that word with respect? Ernest Holmes, who is the author of the Science of Mind textbook and the founder of Religious Science, has a lot of things to say about a lot of things. We call this our textbook, and it is filled with different ways to explain spirit, mankind, our relationship, all of it. And as I said earlier, one power, one presence. We are living and moving and having our being within that one power and presence. So on page 56, paragraph 3, we're talking about the truth. You know, so we're going to swear something is the truth. We're going to cross our heart. We're going to understand that whatever we are saying with the power of the divine behind it. So this is what he says. Let us return to the man who really wishes to demonstrate the supremacy of spiritual thought force over apparent material resistance. Let us put his treatment in the first person, impersonating him for the purpose of clarity. I am a center in the divine mind, a point of God-conscious life, truth, and action. My affairs are divinely guided and guarded into right action, into correct results. Everything I do, say, or think is stimulated by the truth. There is power in this word that I speak because it is of the truth and it is the truth. There is perfect and continuous right action in my life and my affairs. All belief in wrong action is dispelled and made negative. Right action alone has power, and right action is power, and power is God, the living Spirit Almighty. This Spirit animates everything that I do, say, or think. Ideas come to me daily, and these ideas are divine ideas. They direct me and sustain me without effort. I am continuously directed. I am compelled to do the right thing at the right time, to say the right word at the right time, to follow the right course at all times. So the integrity of the universe is, it deserves your respect because we have the power of the Word of God. That is the very foundation of the integrity of the universe. He also says something else, and this is on page 48 and 49. Here we go. He says, there's no mystery in truth. Faith in a certain specific statement has power consciously to oppose, neutralize, erase, and obliterate the opposite mental attitude. It is because of this fact that this study is a science and can definitely be used, and we must accept it as such. We must accept it as such. So what is all that? What is all that I'm talking about? I'm saying that there's the one power and one presence, and the word, the spoken word, the thought word, these are the words that move through us and as us, as we are being and expressing the divine. There's one more. Okay, so this is on 446. Paragraph 5. He says, a change of consciousness does not come by simply willing or wishing. It's not easy to hold the mental attention to an ideal while the human experience is discordant, but it is possible. Knowing the truth is not a process of self-hypnosis, but one of a gradual unfoldment of the inner self. So we can say, this is the truth, this is the truth, this is the truth, and we can repeat it over and over and over again, but until we start to feel it, until we start to have an affinity with this, then all we are doing is trying to convince ourselves. We can try intellectually to convince ourselves that the word of the divine has power and moves through us. And that's all very well and good to say, yes, I intellectually understand this. But it's when we move to the point where we feel like what we are saying is a sacred vow, is a sacred oath, that we would be willing to stand here and say to others, say to ourselves, this is the absolute truth, cross my heart. I know this. If I am being untruthful, I surrender to whatever is. We are spiritual, immortal beings having a human experience. We hear things from the outside all the time. Just because we hear things doesn't make them true. I could say something that is completely untrue and say it with authority, and you might think, oh, wow, that must be true. No matter what anyone tells you, look yourself. Look into things. Hear them. Feel whether or not there is a resonance of truth within. If I say there's one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence flowing through all the universe, through all creation, don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. If I say God is all there is, and I am one with God, because in the infinitude of God, I could be nothing else, and each one of you are one with God, same reason that I am, because there's nothing else to be. Don't take my word for it. Prove it yourself. Feel it yourself. Look into it. Go within. Go into a meditative space and ask, what is the truth? What is the truth? Is there only one power? Is there only one presence? Is it infinite? Is it eternal? I will give you a clue. No matter what kind of doctrine and dogma the religions put out, no matter what they put in their books and in their writings, the thing that they all have behind them is that there is one creator, also called a source, one creator that created everything and is its creation, because it is infinite and it is eternal. You cannot have infinite and other. You cannot have eternal and limited time. So when you go within and you ask, what is mine to know? What is mine to be? What is mine to understand? Things come to you. Now, some people think that when we do this, that there's the option of good angels coming to you or the devil coming to you. And if you have trouble trying to figure out what you're hearing, what you're feeling, remember this. God is good. Always. Always. The infinite spirit will never ask anyone or anything to do something harmful, something that will harm themselves or others. There is good and love in everything, including you. Did you know that you are made up of unconditional love? Every part of you. That's because the divine is unconditional love. The entire universe is the result of the givingness of the divine. Everything that flows, everything that is, has come from the unconditional, absolute love that is the divine. The waters, the light, the absence of light, the stars, all the planets, it is all just an outpouring of love. Which reminds me, I think it's the second week in November. You want to be here for my talk about Prove Me Now. So, how does this tie into Cross My Heart? Because it's the truth. And today we're looking at, where does Cross My Heart come from? And what is the power within my word? And we also want to look at, what is truth? What is truth? And I had an inspiration this morning. Connie was here when I had it. Here's a question to ask yourself. If one small voice speaks the truth, and a large collection of loud voices doesn't like that truth, is it still the truth? Yes, it is still the truth. And we can be very grateful that the one small voice spoke the truth. You may have a time in your life when you feel like you are that one small voice, and you speak the truth, and you know that conviction, and you are surrounded by loud voices that don't like that truth. Just because they are there doesn't make you wrong, and it doesn't make them right. The truth is the truth, period. That's it, truth. So I have some other things that I want to mention to you from Science of Mind. So this is orange. I have my notes, and I have next to my notes what color the tab is. So this is the orange tab. It's on page 449 in the Science of Mind textbook. Ernest says, the mouth speaks from the heart. It is impossible for a man to conceal himself. In every act, word, or gesture, he stands revealed as he is and not as he would have himself appear to be. From the universe, nothing is or can be hidden. The very walls have ears, and the mirror of life cannot help reflecting back to us that which we really are. The walls have ears. Everyone can hear what is theirs to hear. And we all speak what is ours to speak. And the mirror of life always is reflecting back who we are to us. If we don't like that reflection, we don't start putting makeup on the mirror. We don't start getting a razor and trying to shave the mirror or try to cut the hair in the mirror. No, it's just showing, hey, that's what you are. If you don't like it, change from within. Or, you know, put on makeup or cut your hair or, you know, trim your beard, whatever. But it has to happen to the real you, the true you. And as much as you may want to hide who you are and say, oh, I really don't need a haircut. No, I don't need makeup. I'm perfect. I'm whole and complete. When you look in the mirror, if you're not happy with it, change from within. When you have that glow of love and joy radiating through you, you probably don't need makeup. Because that joy is what people are experiencing when they're in your company. And that's a good thing. But remember that changing the outer appearance will never change the truth of who you are. That's what we're trying to get to there. I have, you know, today I don't always have so many quotes, but this cross your heart thing just entertained me. And that and the truth, you know, the truth is the very foundation of who I am. And that is why today's music was The Mystery of Life itself by our beloved Reverend John Pileski, who did pass 2 years ago last week. It's from his CD, Journey of the Heart. And with this Cross My Heart, the reason I selected this music is, he says, I believe the reason why we are gathered here today, the presence deep within you, the God within, is guiding you to say, which is to speak these words that are the divinely guided words. I believe in myself. I believe in you. I believe in the light. I believe in the truth. I believe in love. I believe in the light. So he's saying, I believe in me and you. We are each one with the divine. I believe in the truth, which lets us know we are one with the divine. And I believe in love, which is the givingness of all creation. So these things are very much in alignment with Cross My Heart, with truth, with a sacred vow, with giving respect due to the power of the divine word that moves through us. In the Science of Mind textbook, one of the things that Ernest has done is he has all these little meditations for self-help. They're like little prayers, little meditations, little poems. And if you're familiar with Ernest, you know that he and his brother Fenwick wrote an epic poem, Celestial? The Voice Celestial. Thank you. I should have written it down. The Voice Celestial, which is an entire book. So Ernest and Fenwick were both poets as well as amazing speakers. This is on page 517, one of his brief little poems. I keep the promise. Now remember, we're talking about cross my heart and telling the truth, right? I shall keep the promise that I have made to myself. I shall never again tell myself that I am poor, sick, weak, or unhappy. I shall not lie to myself anymore, but shall daily speak the truth to my inner soul, telling it that it is wonderful and marvelous, that it is one with the great cause of all truth, life, power, and action. I shall whisper these things into my soul until it breaks forth into songs of joy with the realization of its limitless possibilities. I shall assure my soul. Never again do we want to feed ourselves doubt in thought or word. Never again do we want to embrace something that is said about us that we know is not the truth of our divine wholeness. Never again. Because we don't have to. Remember that one little voice speaking the truth, one small voice speaking the truth? Doesn't matter what all these other loud voices who don't like that truth think or say or do. The truth, that one small voice, is within you, telling you always that it is wonderful and marvelous. You are wonderful and marvelous. And you are one with the great cause of all life, truth, power, and action. Pretty powerful statement for that one small voice. I like it. And when we wonder, when do we want to do this? He has another one in his book called The Time Has Come. I won't read you the whole thing. I just have extracted a quote from it. It says, "The time has come. The hour has struck. The power from within has come forth and is expressing through my word." So all of these words that I am giving you today and all of these words that you are sharing and hearing as you speak amongst yourselves, these are the words of the divine. These are the infinite within you expressing. I don't have a lock on this. Everybody does this. When you speak, you are speaking with your understanding of the divine within your words. Got that? You open your mouth, God is speaking. So when you open your mouth and God is speaking through and as you, give those words the respect and the power that they deserve. And if you don't like those words, change them. Change them. Because when we put forth the power of our word, it shows up in our lives. In fact, that's the final thing that I'm going to read to you. My word comes back to me. My word comes back to me laden with the fruits of its own speech. My word is the law unto my life and the law unto everything that I speak. Everything that I speak. He then admonishes us, O word, go forth and heal and bless all humanity. Tell them of their divine birthright. Tell the stranger that he is not alone, but that one goes with him who knows and cares. One goes with him who knows and cares. He says, tell the sick that they are healed and the poor that they cannot want. Tell the unhappy of the joy of the soul. And break the bonds of those who are in prison. My word shall come back to me, blessed of God and man. My word shall come back to me. Now, anybody who's worked in contracts, you'll know that will is kind of like, well, it sort of shoulda. It should. But shall is a requirement. It's a law. If I say thou shalt, I'm giving you a legal commandment, a legal requirement. The word shall return. Fulfilled. So we want to make sure that when we're saying, hey, this is what I'm saying, are we willing to say, cross my heart with every statement that comes through our mouths? Are we willing to hold ourselves in integrity, which is our monthly theme? Are we willing to stand in the integrity of the truth every day? Every day. So, if you are willing, please place your hand over your heart and affirm after me. Today,
I am willing
to pay attention to what I say.
To pay attention to what I think and do.
And to give these words of power,
and to give these words of power,
the respect they deserve.
The respect they deserve.
Cross my heart.
Cross my heart.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Now, you've just named it and claimed it. You have made a demand on the universe. You have said, this is the truth. Those words have enormous power. For each of you individually and for all of you as a group. When we pray and meditate individually, we have the power. Each of us has infinite power. And so if we do it together, the logical thing is, oh, we've got a whole bunch more infinite power. What we truly have is more people embracing and believing in that power. The power is the same, but we've got more people backing it. Okay? So, I want to thank you all for being here, for joining us today. And next week, we're wrapping up Integrity today, and next week we have a new month. It is November, and our theme is going to be demonstration. Now, one of the things we do in demonstration is we give back your 2019 intentions that you submitted in January. And we've been praying on them all year long. So we're going to hand them back to you. And for those who are no longer here, we will mail them to them. And then when you open up the envelope that's been sealed all along, I don't know what's in them. Nobody knows what's in them but the person who wrote them. When you open it up, you get to say, wow, I forgot I even wanted that. I got that last June. There's that much power in your word. So thank you for your time, for your attention, and namaste.